God's blessings to you as we look at the scripture readings for this coming Sunday. And we always want to begin with prayer and ask the Lord to guide our study of the scriptures. Heavenly Father, be with us again this day and help us as we prepare for our worship by taking a little more of a look at the lessons and what they say to us so that we can put things together and listen better as we worship you this weekend. Or if we can't worship you, that this will help us and at least keep us up with what others are listening to from your word. Guide and bless us as we hear the old covenant and then Christ bringing in the new way as our Lord and our Savior. Bless us as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for today is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. And in this passage, God promises through the prophet Jeremiah that he's going to make a whole new covenant. The old covenant with Israel and Judah, the northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel and of the people of Israel, was from the time when God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. And the passage says that God was like a husband to them, the term that's used here and in some other places. But they, unfortunately, had been like an unfaithful wife. And not only just once, but again and again through the years, following false gods, breaking the covenant relationship with him, in which where they were to have no other gods. That was the foundation commandment, the first commandment. And yet it was broken again and again and again. In the new covenant, God would put his will within them, on their hearts, because of their sinful nature, to bring them a whole new way, a whole new life, you might say, that they became a new creation through the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in the coming of the Savior. And the Lord would be their one great teacher for them all, and that they wouldn't have lots of different teachers scattered over time, but the Lord Jesus would be the one great teacher, and then the other biblical writers following him. And he would forgive all their sins. And that's a crucial thing that's mentioned in verse 34 of this passage. And he would remember their sins no more. And if I get the time, I'll also put a Bible study kind of contrasting in a little more detail the old covenant with the new covenant and some passages in the New Testament that talk about that particularly. The psalm is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And the question there is, how can a young man follow the Lord in a faithful kind of way? And we hear all kinds of things that are mentioned here. But it centers on keeping the word of God at the center of what he is doing. And of course, the word of God, which eventually would point to Jesus, our Savior. One will listen to the word of God. One will store it up in his heart, which could be memorization or marking things in such a way that one can remember the word. There's meditation on the word, not just listening to it or thinking about a little bit, but meditation on it and what it means for him and for his life. And he'll also declare it with his lips, which means he'll speak the word of God and share it with others as well. He'll also fix his eyes on the Lord's way. As he uses the word, he sees what the Lord wishes and what the Lord wants and keeps his eye on God's will. And also that he asks the Lord to teach him, ask him for wisdom and guidance. As we always begin this particular study and all our studies with prayer, that the Lord would teach us and help us to learn from his word. And he will not forget the Lord's word either. He'll remember it and seek to apply it to his life. Now, this is actually, when you read this psalm, this part of the psalm, it's the opposite of what God's Old Testament people so often did. Too often they were rebelling against God's word, not wanting to hear it, or ignoring it, or sometimes it was even lost among God's people. What happened as a result was that they were too often following false gods, false words, false ways, instead of the one true God. But this would be the ideal, when a young man from little on up would know the word and listen to it and keep listening to it all of his life. And of course, that would work for everybody, women and children, girls and everyone as well. Well, in the gospel lesson then, Mark 10:32 to 45, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and to die in payment for the sins of his people and of the whole world. And he's telling his disciples as he went what was going to happen. And this was the third time that he had done this. And so there was more detail even in this telling by Jesus, and some of the punishment and trouble that he would have even before he went to the cross. And so he's telling them all these things, but they're thinking about something else. They're only thinking of themselves, what they wanted, instead of helping and serving him. And James and John stand out, and they were the most callous about this, because they came to Jesus and in effect said, we want you to do what we want, but we're not going to tell you until you agree you're going to do that. And obviously that things don't work that way with God himself. And so Jesus asks, so what do they want? And what they want are the best spots next to Jesus when he comes into his glory. And it may reflect again the idea that so many people have had among the Jews, that the Messiah was really going to set up an earthly kingdom and get rid of other nations and make Israel the top nation once again, a glorious earthly kingdom. And they'd like to have the best spots in that earthly kingdom. Well, the other disciples heard what they were asking, and they're indignant. They're very upset. And probably, based on other things we read, they were also jealous. They didn't think of that. They didn't try that same thing first. And now the others may get a better chance. And of course, Jesus has to teach them again that he can't do those things for them. That's not how things work. And you don't earn favor with God in that kind of way. And that if you want to have to be great in the kingdom of God, there's greatness through serving others and serving the Lord and not being served. And Jesus himself, of course, is the prime example for that, and the one who did it in a perfect way, because he was in the process of ultimate service for them and for all people by, as he says, as this passage ends, giving his life as a ransom for them and for the world. And a ransom means paying a price. Often it had to do with a slave being set free and whatever the price was for that to happen. And so it has the idea of something being paid in order to bring freedom to someone. And Jesus was paying the price big enough to set not just them, but the whole world free from slavery to sin, to Satan, and to death by the sacrifice that he made on the cross and paid for all sins so that they could all be forgiven. The disciples still didn't get that, and we'll certainly see that as we go along. And I'll be preaching again Saturday night. That's why I'm a little short on time. I'm preaching tomorrow night for a Lent service, and then again on Saturday night and Sunday this particular week. And the weekend sermon will be on this lesson, and more detail about that when I put that up on my podcast site. Well, in the epistle lesson then, Hebrews 5, 1 to 10, Jesus is described as the greatest high priest, and that he didn't push his way into that or anything like that. He was appointed according to God's plan, and even in the Old Testament in prophecy. And he's also called to be in the order of a mysterious Old Testament priest by the name of Melchizedek. There's a lot in the book of Hebrews about Melchizedek and Jesus being in that order of Melchizedek. We don't have time to go into all of that at this point, but the passage in Hebrews 5 mentions that twice, but says that Jesus was so superior to ordinary priests, including high priests, because they had to be concerned about their own sins as well as dealing with the sins of others through various animal sacrifices and other things that that they did and called upon people to do as well. They were sinners too, who needed the forgiveness of God and the forgiveness that would come ultimately only through Jesus and his sacrifice for them. And then we hear in this passage that Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, asking God to supply all that is needed, especially to give him strength for what he needed to do in his death and his saving work, as Jesus finally gave his own life for the sake of others. And as this passage says, he then became the source of eternal salvation for all who would obey him, and that means obey him by trusting in him, by faith in him, by confidence in him. And that's a gift from God according to the scriptures. And again, there's a lot more about that in Hebrews chapter 7 to 10. And if I get time to do the Bible study and get my sermons done and so forth, then some of that would be in there too. The contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant as well. But a lot of things here, and some of this is kind of complicated and would involve Old Testament history and then what Jesus finally did and some big terms that would be involved here. But the basic idea is that the Old Covenant was broken. God's people failed so miserably to be the people God wanted. And so God created a whole new covenant, which centered now in Jesus. And it centered not just in the people of Israel, although they're still important to God, but it's now a covenant with all people and all nations through Christ and through what he would do for us as our Lord and Savior. And that's kind of where these readings are going. And it's the Word of God that we use to see and to know all of this and understand it all. And again, the Word that centers especially in Christ and what he has done for us. Why we need the Savior, and then the work that he has done for our sake. Well, the Lord's blessings to you as you look at these readings on your own. And again, I hope you are able to get to worship and listen to more and more information and comment, and above all, the good news of Christ that comes through in these readings and what the new covenant gives in the way of great hope for us as God's people. If you can't get to worship, I'd encourage you to, you could listen someplace and listen to a service and the sermon and message and the scriptures, or do some studying on your own of these particular passages about Old Covenant, New Covenant, and Christ at the center as our great high priest and Lord and Savior. Well, the Lord's blessings to you all.